Amen. Good morning. A few quick announcements before we get into it. Tonight at 7 o'clock, the Missions Committee has invited us all to come for a time of prayer for the persecuted church worldwide. And there are many brothers and sisters who are persecuted and hated and hurt because of their faith. And this is a way that we can give them help. That we can pray on their behalf. Suffering church needs help, needs encouragement. And this is a way we can. So we are all invited to meet back here at 7 o'clock for a time of prayer. Also, of course, next week is the ladies' retreat, which is great for the ladies and not so great for some of us men. Have you ever seen the Left Behind movies? I mean, I hope you haven't, but it's a little like that. The women are raptured to paradise at Pinewood Lodge. The men are left behind to deal with the chaos and the confusion and the never-ending peanut butter sandwiches. So women, bless you. We hope it's wonderful. Please hurry home. And also, next Sunday, there is no Sunday school. It has been canceled. Church will be at its regular time, 10:45. So please come for that. All right, any more information, check your bulletins. This past week, Pastor Eric has been at a seminar in Winnipeg, and he's been learning and doing whatever they do at seminars. And next week, of course, he's responsible for the peanut butter sandwiches. And so we're going to take this opportunity to have a two-part mini series on the power of the tongue. And we've been preaching through Ephesians, the church, the wisdom of God displayed. And so much of what we do as a church has to do with how we speak, and by extension, how we listen. We gather on a Sunday morning, talk to each other in the foyer, talk about our weeks, talk about the weather, talk about our problems, whatever. And we move into the service, the Sunday school and the church service, and we talk and we pray and we preach and we listen, we encourage, we sing to God, we sing to one another, and we listen. Afterwards, we talk about what's coming up in our weeks, problems that are coming, and we pray throughout the week. We get together and we talk and we talk and we listen. So much of our church life, the wisdom of God displayed, centers on what we say and how we listen. So as I was preparing this week's sermon and the next, I was convicted horribly of my own sin in this matter, and it has been a challenge, and it's my prayer that God makes you as miserable as he has me, so that together we come under a common conviction and pursue a common holiness. So let's get at it. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, starting in verse 5. I'm going to read 5 to 12. This morning, we're going to preach through 5 to 8. Next week, it's going to be 9 to 12, but I'm going to read the whole passage to keep the context together. Pick it up in verse 5. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would have your way with us this morning, that you would both convict and comfort by your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Give us insight. Give us love. Amen. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small flame. Forest fires can cover hundreds or thousands of square miles. They destroy everything in their path. People and animals must flee, or they'll be consumed in the heat. Trees, plants, crops, houses, cars, everything gets burned, and the destruction grows as long as there is fuel to keep it burning. It gets so hot that when the fire reaches a road, the trees on the other side of the road burst into flame. Just by being near the fire, without the fire even touching them, they burst into flame just by being near the fire. You should write that down. It's so hot, they spontaneously combust in the heat. Lives are forever changed or are ended permanently. Homes lost, jobs lost, families lost, futures lost, suffering, death, ash, and dust are all that remain in the smoldering aftermath. Everything that you have tended to so carefully over the course of your life is gone. And if you would trace that fire back to its start, what would you find there? Maybe a little spark, a little ember from a fire, an overturned candle, heat from a muffler. The smallest of flames, just a little bit. Hardly worth noticing. You wouldn't be alarmed to see it. It's not really a threat. It's just a spark, a bit of heat. What does that matter? And then you see what that little spark becomes. It becomes death and destruction for thousands. As far as you can see, that little flame has burned everything. Nothing is left untouched. It will take generations to repair the damage from that small spark. And we marvel at how such a small, insignificant bit of flame could lead to such vast destruction. And such is the power of your tongue. An off comment, a bit of gossip, a thoughtless word, perhaps, a touch of bitterness, an inference, an inappropriate laugh, the smallest of words. And suddenly the fire starts. Before you know it, it's out of control and you can't stop it. What is said can't be unsaid. Someone's life gets ruined, a reputation destroyed, friendships ended, marriages ended, families and churches torn apart. The relationships and trust and reputation that you have tended to so carefully over the course of your life is gone by one tasty bit of gossip, one malicious slip of the tongue, and you can hardly fathom how much it hurts and how long that hurt lasts. It can take generations to repair the damage. Surely a great forest is set ablaze by a small flame. And that's not even the worst part, as if that were not enough. The worst part is you can't stop it from happening. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a traitor, a world of unrighteousness, and it will defeat you. Not only will it set everything around it on fire, but it will betray your own heart. It will disclose what you have so carefully hidden inside. That which you want no one else to see. Your heart is revealed by your words, by what you laugh at, by the conversations you engage in, by the gossip you speak. You are known. You are laid bare and revealed, and people can see who you really are. Your tongue is a traitor. You can disguise yourself for only so long. Flattery will work for a season. But eventually, that which is in your heart will come out of your mouth. It is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. You can run on for a long time, but eventually your tongue will betray you. But of course, some will say it was just an innocent conversation. I meant nothing by it. I was just telling a story. The story was true, right? I was just asking for prayer. I was just telling an innocent joke. I was just. I was just starting a fire, is what you should say. We need to ask ourselves, is it from love that we speak? Would you tell that true story if the person you're talking about was in the room? Would you laugh if that person was there? Would you want other people to talk about you and your problems in the same manner as you do about them? What's the honest answer to these questions? Is it from love that we speak? I think at this point we all stand condemned under the words of Scripture here. We cannot laugh this one off or shrug it off as insignificant, as if it were only a small flame. Oh, we are caught. We are not without blame. With that revelation before us, let's look deeper into this topic of the tongue. We are going to spend some time in verse 6, and we're going to pull two main things from it. The first thing we're going to look at comes from this phrase, that the tongue sets the entire course of your life on fire. The entire course of your life is at stake here. There is power here to destroy yourself and others. You cannot write it off as a small flame. You ignore it to your own peril. Yes, the sin is already present in your heart, but we take it to a whole new level when we put words to our sin. We're putting substance to it from the thoughts of the heart out into the world. Now, we'll talk more in detail about the heart in a bit, but for now, know that there is a line crossed when the thoughts of the heart are made known by the tongue. The fire of sin is already in the heart, but to speak it into being actually sets the blaze going in the world and growing. The truth is, words have power. It matters whether something is said or not. Listen to a few Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. That is some amazing power. Your words can bring life, or they can bring death. And when you speak from the sinfulness of your heart, you set the fires of hell burning in the world. You bring death into the world. Does that sound harsh? It's exactly what the scriptures are saying here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say can bring death into the world. Sin let loose to spread its disease and destruction to others. People's lives are hurt by it, and it sets the entire course of your life in motion. So let's play a little game here. This is not quite fair. If you think I'm leading you down the garden path, I'm about to. But the point will hold. If you're familiar with the straw man fallacy, it's kind of what I'm doing, but the point will hold, so I think it's fair, especially that I've warned you. All right, let's consider this. Let's see if any of these things fit you, if you recognize yourself in any of the list I'm about to read. Perhaps you are a grumbler. Nothing's ever good enough. You find something wrong with everything people do. You're quick to criticize, quick to point out other people's mistakes and faults. You make comments on how much better you could have done it, or someone else. You're always comparing one person against another, and somehow both parties wind up on the losing end. You don't say thank you, or show gratitude to others, or humility. Perhaps you make snide comments about how people look. You insult their choices in clothes, or hairstyle, or their car they drive. Do any of these fit you so far? Let's keep going. Perhaps you're a gossip. You don't keep secrets. You betray people's trust. You're a hypocrite, saying one thing and then doing another. You laugh at people behind their back. Love being the center of attention, so you're always spilling everybody's secrets. You mock those who are not as smart or successful as you. How are we doing? More. Maybe you tell dirty jokes. Try to get others to laugh at inappropriate things. Love to use innuendo when you speak openly of things that should remain private. You like to dirty people's minds with dirty talk. Or maybe you're always offended. You insist people constantly apologize to you so you keep your power over them. Boastful and brag about how good you are and how not good other people are. You build yourself up by tearing other people down. Now, I don't think that anyone here is all those things. That was a long list. It's too much, and that's fair enough. So let's keep the game going. Let's start to whittle this down. Let's say, after that list, I look at it and say, you know what? I'm only half as bad. No, wait. Let's go quarter. Let's say 25%. I'm only a quarter as bad. Let's start there. Let's really knock it down. That would mean 1 in 4 of what I just said. So that would say I am quick to criticize. I never say thank you. Gossip. Laugh at people behind their back, encourage others to join in my sin. I'm easily offended. In short, 25%, I'm a critical, gossiping ingrate who's always offended. All right, I'm not doing very good. And that's only a quarter as bad. Okay, let's keep going. What if you're only half as bad as that? Well, then I'm still a gossiping ingrate. All right, gossiping ingrate. Now we're down to 2. Let's cut that in half. I'm down to being a gossip. Cut it down as much as you want. And aside from claiming perfection for yourself, which I don't think we're going to do, down to just one item, our words still condemn us. Romans 1:29-32 says that gossips are worthy of death. So that's tough stuff. The point is that even if I think I'm pretty good, I hear that list and it's like, no, I don't do this, I don't do that. Well, maybe I struggle with that. And you got one. And the Bible says you are worthy of death. So you see why the point holds. We're not all those things, but we're some of those things. I have been some of those things. So, what are the results of this kind of talking? What's the course of your life going to look like when it's been set ablaze by the tongue in this manner? It's obvious, I think. You hurt people deeply. You show yourself as one who can't be trusted. Someone people don't want to be around. You're creating a negative atmosphere around you. And the only friends you'll be able to keep are the ones who enjoy the fires of hell as much as you do. At least for the time being. Most importantly, I compound my sin before a holy God when I sin with my tongue. It's not just affecting my relationships with people. It affects my relationship with God. And he has said that those who do that deserve to die. That's why we can't laugh it off or think it's only a small flame, a little ember. And not only will this affect all your relationships for the negative, but it will also affect your own beliefs as well. You say some of these things long enough. The bitterness, the grumbling, the complaining, negativity, whatever. And you will start to believe your own words with a passion. You really are better than everybody else. People really are dumb. They're laughable. I begin to think that the foolish people in the world, and there are foolish people in this world, but I begin to think that they are there for my personal entertainment. And I'm entertained by sin and by dying blind people on their way to hell. Instead of pity, I find myself laughing, and it's amusing. You begin to believe that life has shortchanged you and you deserve so much more, that perhaps God himself has shortchanged you. The more you criticize, the more you see to criticize, until eventually it's all you can see. The fire has burned everything. We are caught. It's a spiral down.
And eventually it will cement your pride into a completely hardened heart. And there it sits, hard as a stone, as you laugh at the world around you. How's that for a terrifying picture? The tongue stains the whole body and sets on fire the entire course of life. So that's the first thing we see in verse 6. We probably need a break after that, but we got to keep going. Second thing we see in verse 6 is the source of the fire. What does it say? And is set on fire by hell. Hell itself is the source of the fire of the tongue. Its power to destroy comes from sin, and that fountain of sin, the heart, the sinful heart. Jesus said that it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks, right? Matthew 12, 34 and 35. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. The fuel that keeps the fire burning is not what so-and-so are doing. It's not the gossip. It's not the juicy scandal that's going on. Those things are not what keep the fires of hell burning. Those things are not the fuel. And that's why this is so dangerous. It is your heart that fuels that fire. Fire must have something to burn, and it will go out. And if we can stretch the imagery a little bit here in the context, the fires of hell is no different. It will not burn if there's no fuel in our context. And that's why it burns forever, because unforgiven sin remains sin, and therefore is a permanent source of fuel. It doesn't burn up. You will never run out of mockery. You will never run out of gossip. You will never run out of lies. As long as your heart is unchanged and is not submitted to the rule of Christ, it will always produce sin and will always feed that sin to your tongue. Your heart, listen, your heart is the center of the connection between you and eternity, for good or for evil. It is the fuel. So we have a problem. For those of us who have come to faith in Christ, we still have the challenge to control our tongue. We're not sinless, even though we have been forgiven, even though we have a new heart. We still struggle. 1 John says that if we say we're without sin, the truth is not in us. Our hearts are still in a battle with sin, and we must actively engage in that battle to bring our whole bodies under the control of the Spirit. We still need the Lord's discipline. We need the discipline of others. We talked about this morning in Adult Sunday School. We need the water of the Word. We need prayer. We need to repent when we sin. All these things. And here we see the key in Jesus' words. Out of the abundance of your heart, the treasure you carry is the key to walking in victory. What are you feeding your heart? What is the abundance inside you? What is your treasure? Sometimes people wonder why they're so prone to inappropriate humor or so quick to mock other people. And then you find that those people love to watch the absolute worst of TV shows. Shows that earn their reputation and earn their money through inappropriate humor and mockery of others. That's their essence. And people are filling their hearts with this stuff. They treasure it. Listen to comedians whose only talent is vulgarities, cursing, and obscenities. The very product is a celebration of sin, of the sin we're supposed to be fighting. And we fill our hearts with these things. Every day, online, in conversations, in song, in the movie theaters, we laugh along and join in on the very things that set the fires of hell burning. The very things that will destroy the souls of millions in hell. And then we wonder why we lack self-control. We wonder why we're so weak. Listen, if you're going to fill your heart with sin, with evil, if you're going to treasure sin in your heart, you will always be weak. You will have no power in life. You will not walk in victory. You will walk in defeat. Defeat will mark your days from beginning to end and will rob you of all joy. Some of us know what I'm talking about. It's so good. It's so good in the moment, right? Proverbs 26:22. The words of a whisperer
are like delicious morsels. How about that? They go down to the innermost parts of the body. Delicious morsels. The gossip is so good. The self-righteousness feels good. In the moment, it seems so irresistible, but it will destroy you. It takes you from fellowship with God, leaving you weak and joyless. Those delicious morsels go down to the innermost parts of the body, the heart, and it will set the whole course of your life on fire. So let us take warning. Whether you speak them yourself or whether you give yourself to listening to them, just on the other side of the road, listening in, you burst into flame. So this then brings us to the question, how can the tongue be tamed? We looked at two things from verse 6. Now we're going to move on to 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now this verse is blessed because it rules out legalism. Because that is what some of you just heard me say 5 minutes ago. We can get into a panic and run headlong into legalistic behavior. We need to tame the beast. We got to tame the tongue. I got to do something. And in an effort to control what is in our hearts, sometimes we throw away, I don't know, our TVs, our computers, our phones, which isn't necessarily always a bad idea. But we think we can get rid of sin by just shutting everything down out of fear of doing something wrong. Some of us never smile at all. No humor is allowed. We think that if we can just close the doors, close all the doors, then we will not sin. And all the good things that God has given us are thrown out for fear of being corrupted. But here's the thing, we're already corrupted. The sin is already in us. We don't put in more sin. That's clearly not the answer. But neither do we defeat sin by asceticism, by denying even good things, except sometimes for a season of prayer and fasting. Enjoyment is not a sin, much to some people's dismay. Self-control is not something we create, but a gift of the Spirit that we cultivate. Self-control is not something we create, but it is a gift of the Spirit that we cultivate. Otherwise, we are still just working by the flesh. But this verse now tells us no human being can control the tongue. Legalism will not help you. You will not be able to reach your goal of self-control in this way. The answer comes in the gospel, that through faith, God not only gives you a new heart, but the indwelling Holy Spirit to empower you to holy living, holy speaking, holy laughter, holy watching of TV. How about that? When the Spirit is the fuel of your heart, then you can get to work. Spiritual discernment, not legalism, is what we need. And sometimes those things look similar, but they are different. You can throw away your phone out of legalism, and you can throw away your phone out of a pursuit of holiness. The action is the same. You've thrown away your phone. But the heart behind it is different. Spiritual discernment is different. And that's because it's not the phone that's the main problem. It's not even the gossip that's the main problem. That's not the fuel. The main problem is your heart and the abundance that is there, the treasure. That's where the fires are set ablaze, and they must be extinguished there before moving on to other places. We must get the order correct if we're going to have victory. Legalism works from the outside in and never gets there. But the Spirit works from the inside out and does get there. The Bible says to walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that is done through the study of and obedience to the Word of God. That is where we find the answers, the way of the Spirit. Once we look to the Word, we can find the power to put out the flames of hell that would consume us in our lives. That is where we're able to discern what God's will is, what is best. Now look, there may be a time you need to get rid of your phone or set strict boundaries in your fight against sin. That's good
and necessary in our path of discipleship, but not by legalism. Legalism would say that the phone itself is sin, or that movies are sin, or even that talking and laughing is sin in and of itself. That's legalism. Look, I struggle with my weight. I'm a big guy. It bugs me. That doesn't mean cupcakes are sin, but it might mean that cupcakes are sin for me. That's because holiness is after something different. Spiritual discernment brings wisdom into my cupcake situation. Legalism wants a healthier body. Holiness wants a healthier soul. I can eat legalistically, or I can eat in a holy manner. Either way, I may end up with a healthy body, but only the path through holiness will lead to a healthy soul. It works from the inside out. Holiness recognizes where the sin is and where the temptations are. Holiness pursues obedience out of love for God and is willing to sacrifice whatever is necessary, in this case, cupcakes, or your phone. Holiness is powered by the Spirit. Legalism is powered by the flesh. And holiness can be experienced with joy and power because you have a higher treasure that you are pursuing. You value something more. And your stuff, your shows, your Facebook page, wherever. Out of the good treasure of one's heart, one brings out good things. Good things are given to the tongue to speak of. How can we have a never-ending supply of good fuel? First, going to God in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of sins. We start there. Second, by availing ourselves to the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the Word and the Church. And third, we begin to actively fill our hearts with good things. We may cut out certain activities. We don't participate in things that celebrate sin or would lead us into temptation. We strive to be thankful to God, to praise Him, to treasure, pursue Him above all else. We look for good things to fill our hearts so that out of the good abundance, we will bring forth good things from our tongues. Encouragement, gentleness, thankfulness, life-giving words. So heed the warning. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Why? Because your words reveal what is in your heart. Your tongue is a traitor. It will betray what is inside. Whatever abundance you have stored up in your heart will come out. Your treasure will be revealed. The Bible says to guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. So as you bring this to a conclusion, here's an assignment for us. Let's take this home. I challenge you to examine yourself this week. What is your speech like? Do you encourage others? Do you build them up? Do you keep a confidence? What do you laugh at? What is the abundance of your heart? Is that love coming out of your mouth? Your mouth is telling you what is in your heart. Pay attention to it. The tongue can be a powerful force for good, a wellspring of life bubbling up from the heart to the tongue, bringing life to others. Speaking the truth in love is what we need to pursue. That's where we're headed next week, the second half of this sermon. This week was the bad news, if you will. Next week will be the good news, 9 to 12. We'll examine that more closely. How to use the power of the tongue for good. But for now, we're going to stop here. I'm just going to say this. By the power of God, control of the tongue is possible. Through Christ, it can be tamed, and we can use it for much life and much joy. Let us use it to bless and not to curse for the glory of God. And may you not need to be ashamed of what your tongue reveals about your heart this next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the warning, Lord, that we have been given this awful gauge of our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see. see, open our ears to hear, so that we may discern not only that which is in our heart, but also that which we need to do, the steps we need to take as we pursue holiness. Lord, guard us from legalism. Guard us from being judgmental in ways we ought not. But give us courage, Lord. Give us courage to name sin for what it is, to not shy away. Lord, as we think of this week, as we listen to our own words, may your Spirit move amongst us and convict us where there is sin, where our treasure is misplaced. And Lord, in its place, would you put the glory of Christ, that we may treasure him above all else, that our abundance, our treasure, our love, our passion is him, and that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And out of that abundance and out of that treasure, may we speak words of power and life and love. Lord, convict us, comfort us, drive us forward. In Jesus' name, amen.